And the topic is Satan real? Or is he just a figment of our imagination? Well, I'm sure our brother will explain who he really is. Our scripture is found in Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 11 through verse 20. Acts 19, 11 through 20. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Siva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and shewed their deeds. Many of them also who used curious arts brought their books together and burned them and before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.
Tonight the question, is Satan real? For many of us, it is not a question that we would ponder very long. We've been taught over the years, and rightly so, that Satan is real. But it'd be my desire tonight, as we look at this, that our faith would be strengthened. And that throughout the evening you would find words that would encourage you, provide encouragement as you continue on in your walk of faith. The New York Times reported a study some time back about the diminishing belief of the devil among Americans. 62% of Americans do not believe in the devil as a living being. They agree that Satan is not a living being, but just a symbol of evil. He has no influence, but only a symbol of evil. Now that maybe doesn't surprise us, and we would expect those numbers to be fairly high, possibly, when you get out into society. But another survey was conducted by a Christian organization a number of years ago, about 5 years ago. And it was conducted among Christians in America. 40% strongly agreed that Satan is not a living being, but is a symbol of evil. 19% said they agree somewhat. That's over 50%. Most who say Satan is not a living being, and a few of them that agree somewhat with that statement. Only 26% strongly disagree, and 9% somewhat. And then you had 8% that they weren't sure what they believe at all in reference to if Satan is a living being. Now, I realize that surveys can take you many different directions, and the reliability of them, sometimes we're not sure. But I sense tonight that those two surveys give us at least some indication at where we have come in the church, or those who call themselves Christian. And that's more concerning to me tonight than the statistics of those out in society. How could we as a church become so far from Scripture? Or at least those who claim to be a Christian, that we don't even believe anymore that Satan is a living being. Many have come to the place where Satan or the devil has become a joke. We laugh at it. We make jokes about it. And tonight the devil is not an imaginary, repulsive character that people often picture him with, someone with horns and a little tail. And I had to think this afternoon that over the next 5 weeks, there's going to be all kinds of pictures representing evil. It's not a joke tonight. It's real. And the Bible never underestimates his power. And the Bible tonight is very clear on his intentions. He is nothing, as we said, to joke about, because he is living and he is active. And tonight the very core of him is anti-God. From Genesis 3 to Revelation 20, there is a constant, never-ending struggle, a conflict between God and Satan. And tonight, individuals are the battleground. He is not seen in the first two chapters of Genesis, where he is absent, and in the last two chapters of Revelation, where he is banished. In the lesson text that is found here in Acts chapter 19 and verses 11 through 20, in these verses, we find that a revival was triggered by a demon. Let's look at it. If you have your Bibles, maybe you want to open it to them or to that portion of Scripture. We'll move quickly and just give an overview of what was read in the account that is found here. While Paul was at Ephesus, God gave him the power to work great miracles. We find that in the beginning of the text. People even took handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched Paul's body and they carried them. They left Paul and they carried them to the individuals who were sick and those who had evil spirits in them. And those who were sick were healed. And the evil spirits went out of them. You pause and you think of what is going on there in that account. The power of God moving in the life of Paul and through him into the life of these individuals there. The seven sons of the high priest named Sceva. We're trying to deliver individuals from evil spirits by using the name of Jesus. And they said to the evil spirit, come out in the name of that same Jesus. Listen what they said. That same Jesus that Paul preaches about. And then the evil spirit said unto them, and Brother Steve made emphasis of it, and rightfully so. That evil spirit said, he said, I know Jesus. And the demons tonight tremble at the name of Jesus. They know Jesus. And he said, that evil spirit says, I know Jesus. And I have heard about Paul, but who are you? A man with the evil spirit jumped on them and beat them, and they ran out of the house naked and bruised, Scripture tells us. When the Jews and the Gentiles in Ephesus heard about this, they were frightened, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And verse 18 says that many believed. They came confessing and disclosing their deeds. Some had been practicing witchcraft, even brought their books and burned them in public. And there's a whole lesson here tonight just in that area. These books, it says, Scripture says, has a value or had a value of about 50,000 silver coins. Now, maybe to us, that doesn't sound like a whole lot. 50,000 silver coins, it's a big number. But if I understand correctly, one silver coin was a day's wages. And if I calculate it right, and you don't have to take out your calculator on your phone, but I think if I did it right, and I did it several times back and forth, if you work 365 days a year, it comes out tonight to almost 137 years. It's a value. It was put on the bonfire and burned in this account. Luke's brief summary statement in verse 20 pulls together and emphasizes the dominant position of the Word of God at Ephesus when he writes, "So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed." All the satanic forces of the occult and magic that was brought against the word could not overpower it. And so the Lord's message spread and prevailed and became more powerful. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, we are instructed, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then in verse 13 of that chapter, wherefore, take unto ye the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Oh, tonight Satan's real, and his power is real. Brothers and sisters, tonight we are living on a battleground. And where the battle rages is for the souls of individuals. Tonight, as mentioned in the opening, or maybe it was in the prayer, Satan is a defeated enemy. He was defeated and his fate was sealed when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose the third day to ever be seated at the right hand of God. And so tonight we want to consider just two areas in reference to the subject, is Satan real? And they are this: Satan revealed in Scripture and Satan's rule of the world. Number one, Satan revealed in Scripture. First, Satan is a created being. Satan was created an angel and is referred to as an anointed cherub. Take your Bibles and go back to Isaiah chapter 14. Many of you are familiar there with the account, but let's just tonight look at a few verses there, verses 12 through 16 of Isaiah chapter 14. Thinking on the thought, Satan revealed in Scripture, and Satan is a created being. starting in verse 12 of Isaiah 14. "And how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which this weakened the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend on the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will sit above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this not the man that made the earth to tremble, and did not shake the kingdoms?" In verse 15, misskipped over that verse. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Tonight, Lucifer was an anointed cherub, rebelled against God. And when he said, "I will be like the Most God," he was cast to earth with a third of his angels, which rebelled with him, according to Revelation 12, verse 4. And Jesus says in Luke 10, verse 18, he says, "I didn't just imagine this. This wasn't just something in my imagination." He said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven." Colossians 1, verse 8. We have these words, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." At a point in past history, in past time, God created the angels. The Bible teaches that only God himself is self-existent, meaning he exists by his own nature, independent of any other cause. That's why we say God is eternal. He never had a beginning. He always existed. He's self-existent. He's dependent on no other cause for his existence. In the past, in the present, or in the future. Satan tonight is supremely inferior to God because he was created by God. Satan tonight is not sovereign. Satan rebelled against God, but he has not cast off the government of God. He is still subject to it. In Job chapter 1, when God told Satan to consider his servant Job, God said to Satan, "All that he has is in your power, but you cannot lay your hand upon his life." Tonight, Satan, the devil, is still subject to God's power and to the government of God. Satan's power tonight is only within the boundaries that God has established for him. Tonight, Satan is not all-powerful. He has great power, and never underestimate Satan's power. We're no match for Satan. In and of ourselves, we will be defeated by Satan. He has great power, but he is still subject to God's power. Satan can do nothing that God does not expressly allow. The powers of evil can only operate within the boundaries which God allows. As we mentioned just previously, And we are told as believers that what? Greater is he that is where? In us than he that is in the world. Satan tonight is not all powerful. And we may ask at times, and I've asked myself this question, or at least pondered it. We wonder at times why God allows ISIS and other forces of evil to take the life of Christians and then glory in the evil act. I don't know tonight. We don't know why God has set boundaries and how God moves within his sovereign will. But I do know this tonight. What I do know from Scripture is that Satan and all the evil forces will only go as far as God has put the boundaries, and then it'll end. And tonight, ISIS, any other evil force, whatever it may be, around this world, can take the life of Christians, but tonight they cannot touch their soul. God has promised when life ends, we will be brought home safely. If we take the time and go to Luke 16, 22, Lazarus the beggar was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. I heard an account. I think I'll share it with you. Might be in the last 2 weeks. It's been fairly recent here. I was listening to an account of an individual relaying how he had been in contact with some of the families of those individuals who had lost loved ones through these horrific acts. The individual who was reporting back from overseas made mention that the families are weeping. The individual who was speaking from our country said, "Well, I understand that. Why they would be weeping, tremendous loss." And you know what that individual said? From the other side, from the other country, he said, "No." He said, "They're not weeping because of their loss. They're weeping with joy that they could be considered worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ." I'm not sure I can really comprehend that, understand it. And then I think of us at times. We're faced with a little oppression, and we think we're being persecuted. We still live in one of the best places in the world to live, as far as living out our faith. It may change. We are a blessed people at this time, at this moment. Satan is not everywhere present. He relies on his demons, which are fallen angels, to carry out his work. He'll even rely on evil individuals to carry out his work. Again, if we went back to Job chapter 1, God asked where he came from. God said, "Where did you come from, Satan?" And he said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it." He is fast tonight. He can move quickly around the earth. but he uses his demons to be in all places. Satan relies on his demons for the scope of his work to be worldwide. At any given moment, Satan is not all-knowing. Satan knows that his end will come, but he knows not when it'll happen. There is no indication in Scripture that Satan, good or evil angels, can read your thoughts. But my God says what? I can read your thoughts. I even know the intents of your heart. Down in the deep secret areas of your heart, I know them. I know it. Satan tonight is not all-knowing. Satan rebelled against God, and since that time he has been in constant rebellion against him, against God. Oh, tonight Satan is not just a symbol of evil, but is revealed in Scripture as a living being who continues to influence individuals against God. And tonight, I say this kindly, but I say it in earnest, it is a serious thing to minimize or to deny the existence of Satan. Let's be careful. Let's be cautious. At times possible, and I speak to myself in our lighter moments. Number two, Satan's rule of the world. Ephesians 2, chapter 2 says that the unsaved individual does the things of this world because he is guided by the prince and power of the air, which is Satan. The world is under the power and the influence of Satan, and it is the media through which he works, the world. Satan is the prince and power of the world, and it is through that world, that media, that he works. The constant barrage tonight of immorality, lies, and deception through television, through pictures, through advertisements, through movies, and the philosophy of this world is an attempt by Satan to break down our resistance. Satan's desire tonight is for us to become tolerant to all the things which the Word of God condemns and calls sin. And he will use all forms of media, all forms of digital devices to barrage us in an attempt to break down our resistance and cause us to be tolerant to sin. I believe tonight in my own life, and I believe for all of us, we must be on constant guard not to become tolerant of sin. When we become tolerant of sin, around us it will begin to influence our thinking and our actions. I've heard people say in the past things that are clearly declared in God's word to be sin, and God's judgment someday will be poured out on those who partake in those activities. And I've heard people, Christians, say, well, God's the judge. Listen to me, people. God has already judged sin, and some of the things have clearly described or presented to us in Scripture. They're already judged. And my Bible says anyone who partakes of those evil deeds, unless they repent, is going to a place of separation from God. God's not going to rethink someday. God has already declared very clearly to us what sin is. Let's be careful. This world system tonight should never control our thinking, should never mold our character, should never direct our paths. We live, or we will live tonight, a defeated life if we are filling our minds with the things of this world. You've had an influence in the past of my own life. For many of you, you could go back in your life, and I think you could give testimony to the fact of how these things so subtly, and especially when we become tolerant of the sin that is around us, how they begin to affect our walk with God. Let's be careful. Be on our guard. Colossians 3, verse 16. Says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. The word richly could be translated abundantly. The word dwell means to live in. Let the word of Christ abundantly live in you with all wisdom. It carries the idea of what we find through another places in Scripture when it says, be filled and under the control of the Holy Spirit. Satan revealed in Scripture Satan's rule of the world. Satan was, as we've seen tonight, Satan was created by God as an angel. He rebelled against God and he was cast from heaven. He currently is the power and the ruler of this world, but tonight, his end is going to come. And that's as sure tonight as any other scripture that you can find in the Bible. His end will come someday. Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night for how long? Forever. Take courage tonight, brothers and sisters. Church of Jesus Christ is secure. He may oppose it, but he cannot remove it, and he cannot defeat it. Jesus told Peter, he said, I will build my church. Upon this rock, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus Christ defeated Satan when he died on the cross. He took your and my punishment for sin. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins, and in repentance turn from your sin, the blood is applied and your sins are covered by the blood. The Spirit of God comes and dwells in us, and he gives us victory over Satan and all his demons. Tonight there is a battle that rages, and it is greater, with far greater consequences than any conflict that we can observe here on earth. And there's much conflict going on around this world. Every day, that's what you read about. Conflict here, there, turmoil. But tonight, there's a greater conflict going on. And it has much greater consequences. Because tonight, Satan is still living and active. And the battle tonight is for the souls of individuals. I want to find myself, whether I close my eyes in death, my Lord takes me home before that, I want to find myself safe, secure, anchored in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because tonight, Satan is a defeated foe, and his destiny is in a place of fire and brimstone to be tormented forever. For the child of God, we got a home awaiting us in heaven. We sang a little bit about heaven. It'll be a great time. Let's remain steadfast, not be discouraged. Hold fast. The victory has been won. We'll give you opportunity. If you don't find that you're secure and safe in Jesus Christ, we'll give you opportunity to make a decision to follow him. As we sing from hymn number 296 in the black. As we sing, you can make your need known by either standing or coming forward as we sing.